Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Good word of the Lord in Acts, the 28th chapter, as we read from a story that is very familiar to the majority, but I want to do the will of the Lord tonight. I want to extract some things from these verses of Scripture that I feel on my heart. I appreciate the Word of God. It has the strength to encourage and direct, and also, if we follow its commands, it has power to save us. Amen. We can never overemphasize the need for the Word of God. Also the preaching of the word of the Lord, the importance of it, and us being able to receive the preaching of the word of God. And so I always want to be hungry for the word of the Lord and keep an appetite for his word. If you have your scripture here, 28th chapter of the book of Acts, we'll begin with verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one. Because of the present rain and because of the cold, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened. When the barbarians saw this venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I want to look back at verse 3 and maybe just lift some words there as our subject tonight. It says that when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat. There came a viper out of the heat. And I want to preach for the next little while upon this subject, vipers that come out of the heat. Vipers that come out of the heat. Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hands and our voices and let's pray for the touch of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the remainder of this service here tonight. Lord Jesus, again, we need you. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost working through us. We pray, God, that you would move and that your perfect will would be done. Souls, lives, and hearts would be affected, impacted by the Word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Would you clap your hands to him? Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. I realize that any time that the subject of worship comes up and we talk about worship, preach about worship, or perhaps even teach on the subject of worship, there are a lot of folks that are afraid. Some people may overdo it or that things may get out of hand. There are always people that get a little bit worried about folks going too far or getting carried away. Several years ago, there was an article that came out in a LA Times newspaper, and there was a large picture of a boy that literally looked like a zombie, looked like someone had drug him in for being dead. And the caption under this photograph was that this young man had broke a world record for the longest consecutive dance to rock music. He had danced without rest for a solid 200 hours. Don't ask me how he did it, but for 200 hours, nonstop, a little over 8 days. He had danced, he had juked, he had jived, he had gyrated this incredible length of time. And when I learned this, the only thing that I could think about is how that there are some folks that fear that we as Pentecostals may overdo it with our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving to God. Can I tell you that you cannot overdo giving God glory? That pure, true worship unto God that is from true motivation and pure motivation is not something that can be overdone. And I think it's time that God's people wake up and realize that every aspect of our apostolic heritage is worth fighting for. And it's very vital and it's imperative that we realize the value of it. I believe that part of our heritage, of course, is our doctrine. And I'm thankful for the revelation of who God is. Amen. That God was manifest in the flesh. And his name is Jesus. How many believes that tonight? He's not Jehovah Jr. He's not the second person in the Trinity. He's not just a chip off the old block. But he is God manifest in the flesh. I'm thankful for the understanding about the new birth. What it takes to be saved. I still believe that it takes repentance. Water baptism in Jesus' name. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost. As all essentialities of salvation. I believe that's a part of our heritage that we need to stand for, that we need to be willing to defend, and we need to get it down deep in our hearts and be settled on it. There's not a time to be questioning the doctrine of who God is, not a time to be questioning the doctrine about what it takes to be saved. I'm also very thankful for another aspect of this, and this is our sanctification and separation from the world and holiness unto God. The Bible tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I'm thankful for the revelation of being separated unto God. I'm not ashamed of this consecration. I'm not ashamed to be called out. Amen. I'm thankful that I'm no longer stumbling in darkness, but I've been called out into this marvelous light. And it's a wonderful thing to have the Lord save you and fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you get the Holy Ghost on the inside, you want to please him. You want to live unto him. You want your life to give him glory. It's not hard for any person that is full of the Holy Ghost to live a separated life. Because there's just something inside of you that does not want to transgress, does not want to violate, or do anything to grieve that Spirit of the Lord that is on the inside. And the Bible tells us as long as we walk after the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm thankful that we've got a Spirit on the inside that can guide us, that can lead us if we'll allow it to. So it's not a difficult thing to live holy unto the Lord. And this is something that I believe that we, as time goes on, need to really get it in our hearts. We need to hold on to it. We don't need to compromise it or back off of it. But can I tell you that another aspect of our Pentecostal heritage that we must never forget or lose among us, and we need to fight for it with tooth and toenail, that is our Pentecostal worship. It is a vital part of our heritage. Because there's nobody that can worship God like somebody that has the truth. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. When you got the truth, there's something about it that sets you apart from all others. There's a lot of people worshiping different things in this world, but you can only truly worship God as you have a revelation of the truth. Amen. Somebody that has a revelation of who Jesus is can really worship him. Somebody that's been baptized in his name can really worship him. Somebody that's given their life and dedicated it unto God and allowed him to deliver them out of a life of sin, and they have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, they can truly worship the Lord. And I believe that the devil is working overtime in these last days to try to get certain among us to tone it down, to neutralize worship, and to ultimately try to destroy this beautiful experience of worship that you and I have. Praise God. But I don't want to let loose of anything that God has given us. And I believe it's vitally important in this hour that we hold on to apostolic worship in our ranks. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And I'm praying that God would raise up people that are absolutely uninhibited when it comes to worshiping their God. A generation that is not embarrassed to worship God. A generation that does not feel the need to apologize for worshiping God. A generation of people that when they come, especially into the house of the Lord, that understand that the Scripture admonishes us to praise Him in His sanctuary. And when we convene together as the people of God, there's something powerful as a congregation, as we lift up our voice and begin to sing, and we lift up our hands and we begin to praise the Lord. When it is afforded us the opportunity to clap our hands, we do not wait for a certain cue. We don't have to be necessarily encouraged or cheer-led to do so, but we do it from our heart, spontaneous. There's nothing quite like spontaneous worship. What are you talking about? I'm talking about worship that comes not because somebody asks you to lift your hands or somebody asks you to say amen or somebody said repeat after me, but just out of your heart, because you feel the Spirit of God moving upon you. You can't help yourself. You cannot contain it anymore. You cannot hold it back. But something says it's time to praise God. He's been so good to me. He's blessed me. I feel His presence, and what a privilege it is to be able to lift my hands and worship and magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. When Jesus said to the lady at the well in John chapter 4, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I always thought that that phrase or those words, true worshipers, that word true just meant what we normally think of it to be, and that is the opposite of false, that these folks were not hypocrites. They were not fakes. They were not false worshipers, but they were true worshipers. But as I began to study this a little bit closer, I found out that it meant a little bit more than that. But the word true actually means unconcealed or impossible to hide in this context. It means unconcealed are impossible to hide. Real worship is something that cannot be concealed. It's something that cannot be hidden on the inside. How many times has I've heard people, or they've come up to me and said, Brother Calhoun, I felt something on the inside. I was worshiping God on the inside, or I was jumping for joy on the inside, or I was shouting on the inside. They are not true worshipers because they manage to conceal it. They manage to hide it. They manage to keep it on the inside. But can I tell you that true worship is something that cannot be concealed? It's something that cannot be held back. It's something that is spontaneous. It's a response to God and the moving of His Spirit that you cannot hold or hide on the inside. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. If you manage to conceal it, then you're not a true worshiper. God is wanting to raise up people that are true worshipers. Not just mechanical robots that can turn it on or turn it off, depending on what day of the week it is, or who's singing, or who's preaching, or what's going on in the service. But when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon them, there's something that says, I've got to respond. I cannot remain silent. I cannot hide or conceal my love for God. But as the Spirit of the Lord moves, I've got to move with it. I want to respond to the Holy Ghost. I want the Spirit of the Lord to move upon me. Can I tell you a true definition of outward worship? It's an outward expression. Worship is of an inward experience that we have with God. And if we got the Holy Ghost, amen, it's only natural for us to want to worship Him, to want to praise Him. And so if that's true, that worship is an outward experience or outward expression of an inward experience, then if there's those that choose not to worship God and they can sit silently and they do not respond to the moving of the Spirit, then they must not be able to identify with what is going on, or they must not have much experience in God to be able to do so. Amen. If the Lord is moving on you, if God is touching you, there's something on the inside that identifies with the moving of the Holy Ghost that gives way to an outward expression of worship and praise and thanksgiving unto God. Come on, when we lift our hands and we lift our voices, when we sing these songs, when we clap, when we run the aisles, when we leap for joy, when we dance before the Lord, it's more than just calisthenics. It's more than just going through the motions. It's more than just a culture of Pentecost. Amen. But it's a real experience with God. Amen. And God loves it and desires a true worship. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. You say, why do you choose to preach or teach about this tonight? Why wouldn't you save it for a more exuberant service on Sunday night? I find that worshiping God on Sunday is not near as challenging for most church folks as worshiping God the rest of the time. It doesn't matter when it is. When the Spirit of the Lord moves, we need to be spontaneous. We need to be able to move with it. We need to be able to flow and be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost to go with whenever the Lord wants to move. I'm not here to set a time or schedule on God. Whatever you want to do, whenever you choose to do it, I'm available to you. I want to follow your Spirit. I need your Spirit to move and minister to me in my life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The Bible tells us that worship has always been associated with building a fire. Matter of fact, in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, when Abraham was instructed of the Lord to take Isaac to the mountain to sacrifice him. Of course, this is the first time that the word worship is used in Scripture. But the Bible is very clear that Abraham took along with him the fire. He took it with him to this place that he was going to worship God. Amen. I wonder how much more effective apostolic church services would be, how much more impacting it would be upon our guest, upon the world that comes to visit us, if we didn't come to church just to get our fire, but we brought fire to the house of God with us. Amen. We brought something to contribute. We brought something to the church service to offer God. When you come to the house of God, you need to bring a sacrifice of praise with you. When you come to the house of God, you shouldn't have to be pumped and primed and cheer-led to want to worship God. God's done enough for us if He never did another thing for us to lift our hands, for us to want to worship Him. For us to want to praise Him. If He filled you with the Holy Ghost, you ought to praise Him. If He's ever healed your body, you ought to praise Him. If you've ever felt His Spirit move upon you, you ought to want to worship Him. Amen. If He's ever answered a prayer in your life, you ought to have praise on your lips tonight. Because God is so good. We want to worship Him. Amen. That's why the psalmist said, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. We're not waiting for you to move on us. We're already waiting on you to get here, so because we've got some praise that's waiting on you. We've got some praise that is already here. We're already warming this place up with some worship and thanksgiving and praise unto God, because we know that it's worship that welcomes your presence. It's worship
that brings your glory. It's the praise and thanksgiving that always precedes the power and the presence of Almighty God. So if we'll praise you, I want you to know if you're looking for praise, it's waiting for you over here at the church. It's waiting for you over here at Zion. It's waiting for you over here at the sanctuary. It's waiting for you over here at Landmark Pentecostal Church. Amen. We don't have to be pumped and primed. We come ready to offer you praise. We're waiting on you to show up because we've already got praise in this house.
Praise God. Praise God. He brought the fire with him. Oh, we need to bring some fire when we come to the house of God.
I could just take a moment and kind of nudge this. That is why pre-service prayer is so crucial, not just on Sundays, but on Wednesdays also. Because we come in here, we've been bogged down by the world. We've been under pressure. We've been stressed out on the job. Our mind's 1,000 miles away from what's going on in this house. Some way we got to bring it into focus. We got to get the things of the world out of our heart and our mind. We got to get our lives in tune with God and our spirits attuned to the Spirit. Amen. Can you believe that with me? Praise God. I don't care who you are, how spiritual you think you are. You, every one of you have to come in here and get attuned to what God is doing. Praise the Lord. We all have to put aside the cares of life and the burdens of this world and all of those things and maybe even tune them out to be able to tune into God. Well, you take a musical instrument that has strings and you put it in a room and you just lay it down there and it can be a room that is, the temperature is moderate. It didn't have to be out in the rain. It didn't have to be out in the snow. It didn't have to be covered with ice to lose its tune or its sense of sound or its perfect harmony. Amen. It has to be taken to the hands of a skilled musician from time to time and be tuned. It doesn't matter how expensive that musical instrument is. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It doesn't matter how new or how old it is. Every one of them I've ever seen has to be brought back into tune. You take a guitar and set it over in the corner, and if it sets there 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to have to tune that thing or it's going to sound horrible. That's the way it is with a saint of God. You cannot ostracize yourself in the presence of the Lord. You cannot lay out a church and be somewhere else and expect to come in this place and be in tune. You cannot even spend Sunday to Wednesday outside of the presence of the Lord and expect to walk in here and be as sharp and as tuned spiritually and sensitive spiritually as you was when you left Sunday night. There's something about this world that gets us out of tune. There's something about this world that tries to sap every bit of spiritual strength out of us. That's why when we come into this place, we need to be refreshed and renewed. We need to spend some time in prayer and get our hearts in harmony with what God's wanting to do, amen, and bring some fire into that church service so that God can have his way in people's lives. Do you believe that? Why don't you say amen?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God identified himself with fire. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Elijah on Mount Carmel said, the one true and living God will answer by fire. Not only has God been attracted to fire, but humanity has always been attracted to fire. No one enjoys dead church. Nobody likes dry church. Nobody but somebody that's not spiritual. Nobody but somebody that doesn't want to change. But people that really want change in their life, people that really want a difference in their life, they want the power of God in their life, they want to come to something that's alive, that's fervent, that has fire, that has enthusiasm, that is ablaze with the glory of God that is burning in that place. And we enjoy being in that kind of an atmosphere. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be where it's dead. I don't want to be where it's lifeless. That doesn't attract anybody. So that means that every one of us have a responsibility to bring fire into the house of God. Abraham brought the fire with him. We need to bring something with us when we come to the house of the Lord. I've said it before, but let me say it once again, that in the Old Testament, when they came to the house of God,
the Lord said, I want you not to come empty-handed. I want you to bring something with you. I don't want you to come and just bring nothing. It gives off the impression to others that I haven't done anything for you. But I want you to bring a sacrifice. I want you to bring a bullock. I want you to bring a lamb. Or at the very least, I want you to bring a turtle dove or something into my presence because it gives praise to me and it shows to the world that I've done something for you. I'm telling you, when we praise God, it tells people in this house that may be guests with us that God has done something for them. God has touched them. God has changed them. God's worked some things out for them. That's why the preacher says something you agree with. You don't need to sit there like a bump on a pickle. You need to lift up your voice, clear out your lungs, and say amen. Because you're saying, I agree with that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why it's so important that we create a life atmosphere, a living atmosphere, where God is moving, where God is working. Praise the Lord. I have noticed in living for God that there's many that enjoy warming by the fire, but there's not so many that enjoy helping build the fire many times. How many has ever went camping and it's been a little chilly, maybe in the mornings or in the evenings? And, you know, get up in the morning and maybe there's a little frost on the ground and it just feels good to lay in there. The fire's died down on the outside. It feels good to just lay in there and keep your toes beneath that blanket and not get up and go build the fire. But somebody has got to get up and go out and stoke the fire and get it going again. And maybe you've noticed that there's those that when it's their turn to get up and go build the fire, they say, well, if you go do it today, then I'll go do it tomorrow. But it just feels so good in here in this sleeping bag. And I don't feel like getting up and building the fire right now. And so your toes are just as cold as their toes. And it's just as miserable for you, but somebody has to do it. And you go build that fire up and get that thing raging. And then you notice them sorry dogs. They come out there and they're rubbing their hands by your fire. And they're backing up to your fire and warming up by your fire because it's a whole lot more enjoyable to warm by fire than it is sometimes to build a fire. And I've watched that very same scenario play out in church services. I've noticed people, amen, they don't visit the prayer room. They don't really get involved in the worship service. They don't pray for folks in the altar. Yet they want to experience revival. They enjoy it when revival comes to the church. When God starts moving on folks, when God starts working, you'll see those that maybe lingered in the back and maybe were preoccupied with other things. When others were down praying, when others were down around the front worshiping, they kind of hung back. But when the fire got to burning, they kind of eased up there towards the front and got involved. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Amen. If you can't get it done any other way, then that's the way you need to do it. But I'm just telling you, there's a benefit in those that know how to build a fire. I want to see people that get down in these altars and pray with folks until they pray through the Holy Ghost. I'd like to see people get down, if there's nobody to pray through the Holy Ghost, get down in these altars and pray themselves through to the Holy Ghost. I'd like to see people get around this front and worship God until the glory comes down. I'd like to see people that come into church early for prayer, praying and talking to God, bringing a little fire with them as they enter into the church service. Because not everybody likes to build a fire, but everybody enjoys the moving of the Holy Ghost. And we've got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost in our midst. I'm telling you, there's no substitute for it. This Bible story that I read to you from tonight gives us a strong admonition and example of getting involved in the need for fire building. In Acts the 28th chapter, Paul, along with 276 prisoners, were on a voyage, and the Bible said a storm came and destroyed the ship that they were sailing on. some on broken pieces and some treading through the waters, made their way to this island that was called Melita. It was a barbarous island. And the Bible tells us that they were drenched. It had been storming outside. They were soaking wet from head to foot. They had nearly drowned, and some of them were no doubt waterlogged, and they, ragged and worn out physically, made their way up onto the sandy shores of this island. And it wasn't just a resort or tropical or paradise setting that they came up on, but the Bible tells us that it was cold and it was raining. Now, anybody knows that when it's cold outside, that's bad enough. But when it's raining, that makes the temperature feel like it's colder than what it is. You know what I'm talking about? When you're soaking wet, it makes it feel a whole lot worse than what it is. Anybody's ever seen them little apps on your phone when you look up the temperature? It'll say what the actual temperature is outside, and then it says somewhere down through there, it says, but it feels like. Amen. I don't know what it felt like. It felt miserable. It felt terrible. But Paul, the Bible says, seeing the necessity, along with some others that were there, to build a fire. Can I tell you that it's still a necessity that a fire be built? Can somebody say praise the Lord? Amen. Can I tell you that this world is a cold, cold world? And fire in the church is not optional. Fire is not a choice, really. Amen. We have to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. When souls come out of this cold world that they've been living in, they're in need of something that is different, something that feels different. I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest calling card of the apostolic church, is that when people step into this atmosphere, they immediately feel something different. Because I'm going to tell you, just buildings alone is not going to impress them. Can I tell you that just all of the other bells and whistles that sometimes we put so much emphasis on, and I'm thankful for them, that's not going to impress the modern day denominational person, because they've seen all of that, and that has not affected them deeply. That has not changed their life. That has not delivered them from sin. They can go to the denominational church and sing their songs and pray their pious prayers, and yet they're still addicted, yet they still have troubles and problems, and they've not found a solution to all of the situations of their lives. But when they step into this atmosphere, they need to feel the fire of the Holy Ghost in this house. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Amen. So it's not an optional thing. They need to feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Paul was not a young man, as best as I can tell by my study. He was an elderly man. Yet, we see him feeling the responsibility and the weight of contributing to building a fire. Apostle Paul could have said, you know what? I'm not a young buck anymore. I'm going to let these young people, I'm going to let some of these got more energy than I do. I'm going to let some of these that their health is better than mine is. I'm going to let them worship. I'm going to let them build the fire, in other words. I'm going to let them do what I in the past have done, and let them take up the burden of fire building. But the Apostle Paul did not do that. He did not put the responsibility on somebody else. Oh, no. He did not say somebody else can do it. He didn't say, well, I've been around here for so many years, I'm going to let somebody else. I'm not going to worship like I used to worship. I'm not going to pray like, I'm not going to be as committed. You see, sometimes time has a way of causing us to wane and causing us to mellow out. Many of us are not nearly as fervent now after we've been living for God several years as we were the first several years of living for God. Come on. After living for God a few decades, we're not nearly as fervent as we was when we were new converts or 4 or 5 years into our relationship with God. Somewhere along the way, the fires went out. But But the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I'm going to teach these others how to build a fire, and I'm going to do my part no matter how many years I've been around, no matter how old that I am. I'm still going to do my part to build a fire. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how long you've been living for God. When you come to the house of the Lord, you still have a responsibility to give praise to the Lord. You still have a responsibility to worship God. Apostle Paul said, there's no rocking chair blessings in this deal. I'm just not going to let them do it and depend on them to do it. I'm going to do it. I may have arthritis and bursitis and multiple other problems and weak and tired. And I've had to swim just like all these young fellows had to swim over here. But I am going to take up the responsibility of fire building. And then the Bible says that he brought a bundle. Everybody say a bundle. He didn't just bring a couple or one stick to the fire. But the Bible said he brought a bundle of sticks to the fire. In other words, all I can carry, I'm going to carry. All I can do, I'm going to do. Everything I can put into it, I'm going to put into it. I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to be all I can be. Oh, I'm going to preach to somebody here tonight. If you can run, you need to run. If you can dance on occasion when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you, you ought to do it. If you can clap, you ought to clap. Amen. If you got to prop up a hand on the back of a pew somewhere, you whatever you can do, that's what you need to do. Carry all that you can carry and build a fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that one of those supposedly sticks that he was carrying evidently was a snake that had been docile because of the cold. And it was not a stick at all. It was a viper. But when it got close to the fire, the scripture says that it came out of the heat. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about getting snake bit until you start adding or contributing to the work of God. You know, I've had people come and they say, well, Brother Calhoun, I don't understand. I'm fighting hell and high water. I didn't have these kind of troubles when I wasn't living for God. I didn't have these kind of situations when I was out there in the world. Well, hello, the devil isn't going to fight somebody that he knows he already has. He's not going to try or work against. He's not going to use his energies on somebody that he knows is already working for him. Amen. But you start contributing. You start bringing something to the house of God. You start adding something to the work of God. You start bringing a bundle, amen, and placing it on the fire and building the fires of revival. And the Bible says that's when the viper came out. When you decide to become a true worshiper, you better prepare for the vipers to come out of the heat. And there's vipers that we could talk about tonight, but I'm just going to talk about two of them. When you feel the Spirit moving sometimes, and you feel the Holy Ghost touch you and begin to minister to you, and there's something inside you that says, I need to respond. I need to get a hold of God. I need the Lord to move on my life. So I'm gonna worship him. I'm gonna praise him. And you feel like stepping out. You feel like praising God. And you go to step out in the aisle, lift your hand to worship the Lord. And all of a sudden that old viper of condemnation latches a hold of you. That guilt and that shame says, you don't have any business worshiping God. I mean, what right do you have to praise the Lord? You're not worthy to even be here in the presence of God. Why would you think he'd accept your praise and worship anyway? And that old memory of the past, and that old failure, and that old time that you stumbled and you fell short, the devil tries, you know he's good at that, he tries to remind us of areas that we failed. That's ironic, isn't it? It's ironic that the greatest failure in the universe, the devil, would try to remind you of your past. What you need to do is remind him that, devil, you could not even make it living for God when there was no devil, when there was nobody to tempt you, when there was nobody to bring you down or to work against you or to resist you. You still couldn't live for God. You couldn't live for God 6 inches from the throne. What makes you be able to condemn me and to put guilt and to put shame on me? I got news for you, devil. Amen. I'm forgiven of my past. Amen. God has cleansed me from the things that I used to be. And so when I come to the house of God, I got a right to lift my voice. I got a right to sing and shout. I got a right to dance in the presence of the Lord. I got a right to magnify Jesus. Oh, don't try to condemn me. Don't try to bring up my past. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. The Lord, amen, has filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. And then there's times when you get to really feel in the Holy Ghost. And it's moving. And the song touches you, ministers to you. The words, they mean something to you. And you feel the anointing and you feel the presence of God and you go to move out. And just as you go to step into that aisle to leap for joy, that old viper of pride wraps itself around you and latches on to you. And it raises up its ugly head. And it says, you know, you're going to look stupid if you do that. You're going to look like you've lost your mind. Somebody as intelligent as you are. Somebody as put together as you are. Somebody that's dressed as nice as you are doesn't need to be acting like that. You don't need to be shouting because you may break a sweat. You don't need to be dancing or leaping for joy because you may mess up your hair and might even lose a few bobby pins and scuff your shoes. But you're going to look crazy if you do such things as worship God that way. Don't you know that you can praise God more piously? Don't you realize that you can still praise the Lord? You don't have to get into it like a lot of people get into it. But I wonder how many blessings has that old viper of pride robbed from us? Because when God was ready to bless, when God was ready to work, when God was ready to pour out His Spirit, when God was ready to do great things among us, amen, we held back because we felt a little bit inhibited because a viper of pride had got a hold of us and convinced us that we were too good to worship God. I'm going to tell you, where would you be if it wasn't for the grace of God? You'd still be drunk and addicted. You'd still have heartaches and problems. Come on, where do you think that job came from? Where do you think those financial blessings came from? Where do you think that house and that home and that car came from? I'm going to tell you, there's nobody in this place that got it all by themselves, but it's God's blessings. God saved you. He brought your life together. Amen. Now you got a happy home. Why? Because of His blessings. Amen. You're able to stand in His presence free from sin. Why? Because of His forgiveness. If you think I'm going to come to church and not clap my hands, not give a shout of praise unto God, not sing, not worship, you got another thought coming, devil. I've been blessed, so I'm going to praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Woo! I'm not going to let that viper of pride cheat me. You can stand. I'm not going to let that viper of pride cheat me out of one spiritual blessing. Amen. But I'm going to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel like sometimes that some of us feel inhibited. And it's our pride. Because we want to be identified with a few crazies. We don't want to be identified with people that's over-enthusiastic, we think. I'm going to tell you, when it comes from your heart and it's pure motivation to worship God that comes from just wanting to please God, why don't you quit worrying about what people think? Why don't you quit worrying about what people say? Why don't you worship the Lord with all of your might, your soul, and your strength? Why don't you give thanksgiving unto God from deep down and say, God, I just want to please you. You've been so good to me. Oh, you bless me so much. I thank you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I'm hungry for your presence. I desire another touch of the Holy Ghost. I need you to move on me again tonight. Come on, is there anybody that feels that way right now? God, I need you to move on me again tonight. It may not be Sunday, but I still need you to move on me. It may be midweek in December, but I still need you to move on me. I'm not going to let them vipers. Amen. I'm not going to let them vipers steal my worship. I'm not going to let those vipers come out and suck the life out of my praise and thanksgiving unto God. But I'm going to give it to him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. I'm going to give praise to the Lord. Why don't you lift up your hands right now and let's praise him together. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, shake off those things of the world. Shake off that spirit of doubt and unbelief. Shake off that pride and shake off that guilt and shame. Say, God, I need you tonight to move in my heart. I need you to touch me in my spirit. You know, there's different kinds of vipers, there are different kinds of snakes. Some their danger is that they will bite you. And there's even different kinds of them. There's some's got fangs. I don't like any of those kind. I don't like any of them. But I don't like the kind that's got fangs. I guess they're my least favorite. And they say they got a head on them that's kind of like a V. And then there's others that they don't have fangs to inject the poison. They got molars. And they chew on you. Some people let stuff chew on them too long. It affects their worship. And then there's constrictors. They'll wrap and tether themselves around you. And they'll constrict till they take the life right out of you. Oh, God, don't let anything chew on me. Don't let anything smother my worship. Don't let anything get in my spirit that would hinder my praise to God. I don't want to get an unforgiving spirit on the inside that inhibits my praise to the Lord, because you're not worth getting in between me and my God. I'm sorry. I need a blessing. I need a touch. I need a free-flowing channel between me and God. I can't allow anything to get in this pipeline between me and God that would get it where I can't get a blessing and I can't receive something from him. I need something fresh tonight. I need something new tonight. I need him to touch me all over again. I wonder if there's those that like to come around this front right now. I wonder if you'd like to come around this front right now and just say, God, I want you to touch me. I need you to touch me again. I need you to move on my heart.